This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Adam and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Welcome, Jason. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic. I've had a bit of a break. It feels like it's been ages, but
I'm sure
you're going to make some snide comment about the fact that you're back on air with me, but that's all right.
No. I was looking forward to it after you got me a lovely snow dome from San Francisco.
Apparently, that's all I need to do is bribe people with snow domes. So.
Oh, totally worked.
Hey, everyone seems really pleasant at the office now, so.
Well, I guess you should go away more often.
Well, I think so. But, of course, a big thank you to the team at the Rainbow Report.
Which I have already said.
But it was a great show because it's a really exciting time with what happened in New Zealand last night.
Well, exactly. Marriage equality.
Exactly.
Fantastic. I think, I guess the Australian politicians should really take a leaf out of their book and get the marriage party started.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and rescue you from that and ask you, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight on the show, we'll be chatting with Professor Andrew Grulich from the Kirby Institute about the Opposites Attract study. Obviously, we'll be doing some news items and later on some snippets about news and events and stuff that's happening around town. But Jason, we do love to hear from our listener, and how can they get in contact with us tonight?
So many ways. If you want to speak to us directly in studio, you can send us an SMS to 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Otherwise, if you want to speak to a real live person, you can ring 1-300-JOY-949 or keep in touch with us via Facebook between shows, and that's facebook.com/well, well, well, joy.
Exactly. And if you call 1-300-JOY-949, you get Disco Robbie and Smunky Adam sitting on reception. So how can you go wrong? Give us a call, listener. Give us a call. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you caught the little bit at the end of that song, that was Jason singing along.
I'm so going to get revenge on you.
I thought, oh, well, you've got such a lovely voice. Why not share it with the listener?
Are you all right? Because you're being really nice to me tonight. And I'm not sure what's going on.
It's the snow dome. I really have no other excuse except for the snow dome.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to bring up the snow dome anytime you start being a bit sassy.
Oh, no. You only get one show. Well, this is obviously part of the show where we like to change tracks, where we shuffle our papers, make us feel like we're doing a little bit of a newsy sort of Jennifer Kite reading.
We could just find kind of like a newsreel audio thing, but this is much more DIY. And
well, you know, the listeners like it, so let's stick with it. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it, don't reinvent the wheel either. But obviously, I came across an article this week on AIDSMAP.com, which we bang on about all the time because we love it so much, because it's really, really good. And it was talking about pre-exposure prophylaxis in relation to risky sex behaviours amongst gay men.
What's pre-exposure prophylaxis?
PrEP, as we like to call it. It actually is, well, it involves HIV-negative individuals taking daily antiretroviral therapy to reduce the risk of infection of HIV.
Break it down for me.
Break it down simpler than that.
Yeah.
Every day you take an antiretroviral pill to help you prevent, I guess, or to help reduce the risk of acquiring HIV. So if you're HIV negative, you take an anti-HIV drug. And this is actually just part of a biomedical prevention comprehensive package that is on the forefront of HIV prevention, along with microbicides and obviously post-exposure prophylaxis, which
treatment.
Probably want...
Treatment as prevention.
Treatment
as, well.
As prevention as well, exactly. But the article in itself... because there has been some concern in relation to, I guess, some people have voiced concerns that the use of PrEP may actually lead to increases in sexual risk behaviour. So basically, if somebody's taking this, they may think that they're actually infallible to acquiring HIV and therefore might disregard condoms altogether. Or that's basically the crux of their argument. But this research report that was in the Journal of Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndromes said that taking HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP as we'll call it going forward, does not lead to increased levels of sexual risk behaviour amongst gay men.
Well, that's interesting because it's, you know, this is a treatment that's recently been approved in the US by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're starting to see now are many more... observation studies, so seeing how people are actually, what's happening as people start to use it now that it's approved.
Yes.
So it's encouraging that the first bit of research that we're seeing is optimistic.
Well, exactly. I mean, and there's also that that consideration about what happens outside of a clinical context trial, because obviously the guys that were involved in this trial were also sort of receiving like sexual health information, education awareness, risk reduction counselling, condoms and lubricants, regular HIV and STI testing, and linkage to prevention services, which may help explain some of the results that were involved, in fact, in terms of like no increased risky behaviours. So there's obviously that little bit of consideration whether this will translate to a real world setting.
Exactly. I mean, it's still a randomised control trial, where people were either kind of split into two different groups in a study. But, you know, it's something that, that there's still quite a lot of questions around, but is an option that is, I think, appealing to some.
Yes.
In the community. A lot of gay men who seem to not struggle with using condoms for a range of reasons, seem to not be so keen on PrEP as an option. But it's really about expanding the number of tools or options that we have available for guys, depending on their particular their need and the situation that they're in.
Exactly. And I think there has to be context-specific guidelines in relation to, I guess, the prescription or giving a prescription of PrEP. And I'm not exactly sure what the FDA guidelines or the US guidelines are in relation to who can actually access this. But I know it is prescribed specifically for men who have sex with men. So it's not just men who are in serodiscordant relationships.
I think it's individuals in serodiscordant relationships, as well as men that are deemed to be at high risk of exposure.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not an absolute free-for-all.
No.
But even, you know, even with that being available, there are issues around cost.
Yes.
And I know that there are particular cities in the US that are rolling out different types of clinics where some people are able to access it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not kind of the mainstream practice. And, you know, It's still something that hasn't yet been approved in Australia. So
no,
but you know, everyone's keeping a watchful eye on what happens in the US,
well, exactly.
Particularly with these studies.
The more evidence base we can have, I guess, the more informed decisions we can make, and I guess the better rollout of PrEP that we can have. But look, this is well on Joy 94.9, and when we come back, we will be talking with Professor Andrew Grulett from the Kirby Institute about the opposites attract study.
Cause mama told me it was meant to be. I found my baby in the beep dab in Dubai. That's how I found my way to God. Oh, yeah. That's how I found my way to God. Oh, oh. That's how I found my way to God.
This is a well on Joy 94.9. And tonight, joining us via the phone is Professor Andrew Grulett from the Kirby Institute. So welcome, Andrew. How are you tonight?
I'm very well. Thanks, Adam.
We're glad to actually have you on. But Andrew, I guess just before we get into the reason that we've got you on the show tonight, can you just share with the listener just a little bit about yourself and what you've done work-wise?
Sure. So I'm a medical researcher who's been working at the Kirby Institute for about 20 years. I'm a public health physician and what's called an epidemiologist. So I'm an expert in the way that diseases have been transmitted. And I've been working in HIV transmission, particularly in gay men, for about the last 20 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. You mentioned the Kirby Institute. So can you tell us about the Kirby Institute and, I guess, the type of work that goes on there? Because we do see and hear a lot about the Kirby Institute in research reports and things like that. So maybe can you expand on the context of it?
Yeah, so we're based in Sydney at the University of New South Wales, and until 2 years ago, we were actually called the National Centre in HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research. The name change reflects the fact that we now do a lot of stuff on bloodborne viruses, such as hepatitis B and C, and also in sexually transmitted infections. So, and we're very much Australia's largest HIV research institute.
Hey, Andrew, it's Jason here.
Jason.
Now, here on Well, we've talked quite a bit about the projects investigating the impact of treatment on transmission. Where does the current scientific opinion sit on this particular issue?
Well, look, it very much depends about whether you're talking about heterosexuals or you're talking about gay men. So a couple of years ago now, we had an extraordinary breakthrough in this area with a randomised trial that randomised heterosexual couples in which one partner was positive and the other was negative. It randomised the positive partners to either get early HIV treatment when their physical health didn't actually require it yet, or the other arm just got observation and treatment of the HIV later when their health had deteriorated. And what that study found, again, let me emphasise, in heterosexual couples, was that those couples who were treated early had a 96% reduction in transmission. So that was an extraordinary finding. I think all of us, or most of us working in HIV research, felt that, you know, treatment would cause a decrease in transmission of some degree because it reduces the amount of virus in the body by so much. But to see a 96% reduction, effectively a complete prevention of transmission in heterosexual couples, was just outstanding. The trouble is, for your audience tonight and for our community, is that we have not seen any such similar research done in gay couples. We can't do a randomised trial because, you know, having seen a 96% reduction in straight couples, we don't think it would be ethical to do that. But what we can do is perform research into what these couples are doing and what they're taking. So, and that's the study that I'm talking about, the opposite track study.
Okay, well, and just quickly, in relation to that 96% reduction in HIV risk, was that really a figure that was expected to be that high? I know it's extremely astonishing, but, I mean, was there, I guess, an expectation of maybe a 40 or a 50% protection in relation to treatment as prevention, but 96% just being absolutely out of the park more than, I guess, anyone expected?
Yeah, look, I don't suppose anybody really knew what we were going to find because it was a, you know, there wasn't a similar study before this one. But you're right, a 96% reduction is just extraordinary. And it decreased transmissions from 28 in the arm that got no early therapy to 1 in the early therapy arm. And it's worth me pointing out that 1 transmission actually happened in a couple where the positive partner had just started treatment, and so the treatment hadn't had an effect, hadn't had time to decrease the viral load yet. If you take that single case out of the equation, it was effectively a 100% reduction in transmission, which is just astonishing. Yeah.
Well, we're just going to listen to a quick song, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Clinging to me like a last breath you would breathe. You were like hope.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we are chatting with Andrew Gulick from the Kirby Institute about the Opposites Attract study. And Andrew, I guess, can you share with the listener what the Opposite Attract study is?
So you know, now that we have this incredibly strong data in heterosexuals that that treatment pretty much prevents, effective treatment of HIV pretty much prevents transmission, we're trying to do the same sort of study in gay men. The difference will be that because the previous studies have shown treatment to be so effective in heterosexuals, we won't be doing any randomization. And what we're going to do is enroll gay couples who are seroscordant, that is, couples where one partner is positive and the other is negative, and follow them up through time to look at the rate in which the partners become HIV infected and to correlate that with whether the positive person is on or off treatments, and look at the relationship with transmission and viral load as well.
Wow, that's quite a lot. But I guess at the crux of it, what is the aim of the research project itself?
Yeah, look, the top line goal of the study is to really look whether HIV treatment stops HIV transmission in gay men, because if it does, then clearly we have another, you know, really effective mode of HIV transmission. I should say in many parts of the world, you know, we're already pretty much assuming that it will work. You guys down in Melbourne may have seen in the national gay press the ads that ACON in New South Wales is doing, which is focusing on, you know, the I'm In campaign, which is focusing on increased testing and increased treatment of people with HIV in order to reduce transmission. So we're all really believing that this will be effective, and the real question is how effective is it in gay men? Is it going to be as effective in straight couples, where it's virtually 100% effective, or will it be less? And it might be less effective in gay men because transmission by anal sex is about 10 times riskier than transmission by vaginal sex. So it's really a little bit dangerous to assume that it will be as effective as it is in straight couples.
Now, Andrew, can you comment, you know, when we're bending around the 96% effectiveness, how does that compare to some of the other prevention strategies that are out there, you know, comparing to condoms in real-life use or other risk reduction strategies? Do we know that?
Well, yeah, we know quite a bit about that, Jason. So in real-life settings, the best estimate of how effective consistent condom use is something around 90%. And probably some of your listeners hearing a figure like that would say, hang on, I thought they were 100% effective. Well, you know, that 10% difference is that condoms sometimes do slip off, or sometimes they get applied too late. And occasionally they also burst. So there are occasions where condoms don't work. So, you know, 96 or 100% effective compares very favourably to consistent condom use. There's really nothing else out there that's as effective as that. You know, of course, in terms of an HIV vaccine, that's still a distant hope. There's nothing really proven to work as yet, although mm-hmm. there's a massive amount of research happening around the world on HIV vaccines. And then the other thing to compare it to is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which we don't have routinely available in Australia yet. But that's a situation where an HIV-negative person who feels they're at very high risk of HIV infection takes a daily dose of anti-HIV medications to stop themselves becoming infected. And in international studies in gay men, that's been shown to be around about 50% effective, but probably more than that in men who are able to take the drugs daily, in whom it might be as much as 90% effective. So we have more options than we used to. You know, a few years ago it was purely condoms. But we really do need to know more about the level of effectiveness of HIV treatment as prevention.
Fantastic. Well, we're just going to listen to a couple of quick community service announcements, and then we'll get into, the logistical and the crux of the actual research project. So I'm very interested to see how it's going to play out. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Now, Andrew, before the break, we were talking about the actual Opposite Attract study itself and what it's aiming to do. But, I mean, is this study nationwide? Is it looking at all sort of men, or just men in Melbourne or men in Sydney? Or, yeah, what's the gist?
Yeah, so currently we're open in, we've got about 15 sites open in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. We're hoping to open soon also in Canberra and in Cairns. And if I could just give a plug for our Melbourne clinics that are open at the moment, north of the river, we've got the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre and Northside Clinic. And south of the river, we've got Brand Market Clinic, the Alfred Hospital HIV Clinic and the Centre Clinic. So we've got five centres up and running in Melbourne, and I'd like to really thank them for their participation. They're currently doing better than Sydney, so...
Yeah, Melbourne.
Let's milk that competitive nature. Come on.
No.
No, let's work it to our advantage. Why not?
Well, how long has the study actually been going on for?
So we've been recruiting now since about this time last year. And so we've recruited 60 couples thus far. It's been, we found it a little bit harder to recruit than we'd hoped. We need about 240 couples. So we've made a good start, but we've still got a long way to go.
Now, what are some of the findings that you've had so far?
Okay, so it's early days in the study. That's the first thing I really should say. And we're funded to run till the end of 2015.
Wow.
So thus far, one of the findings is that it's not terribly easy to recruit couples. I think part of that is that, the most of the research that we've done in clinics in Australia is been very biomedical, and it's been based around, strict medical criteria about who can join a study. And our study really isn't like that. It's asking our clinics to recruit people based on a social characteristic, which is whether or not they're in a serodiscordant couple where one is positive and one is negative. And I think some of the clinics have struggled with that, although I really should say that a couple of the Melbourne clinics have done a great job in recruiting.
Now, in the gay world, couples, what type of couples are you actually looking for in this research project? Obviously, where one is HIV positive and one is HIV negative, but is it a long-term relationship, a short-term relationship?
What's a couple?
What's a couple, as defined by this research project?
This research project has a very particular definition of couple, and it's I probably shouldn't even be using the word couple, because essentially, because we're looking at sexual transmission, we don't, the study makes no judgment about whether these are people who met a month ago and are just going hammer and tong and haven't even thought about whether they're going to be long-term partners, whether they're long-term friends with benefits of just having a good time and not even entering their mind, or whether they're husbands. There's all of those people, all of those types of sexual dyad, if you like, are eligible, provided that they're still having anal sex with each other at least once a month on average. That's the only sexual criteria. And that they think they're going to be together at the time that the positive partner next has his viral load monitoring test, which in most men is about 3 or 4 months away. There's no duration requirement. So, we've got couples who've been together 5 or 10 years. We've got couples who've been together less than 1 year. It's simply that they're having anal sex with each other at least monthly on average, and they believe they'll still be together at the time of the next clinic visit for the positive partner.
Okay. Well, we're just going to listen to a quick song, but I like that sort of dissection of couples there. It obviously isn't really exclusive. It's a
accepting of diversity of relationships.
Exactly. Or the reality of the gay community, one of the two. But we're just going to listen to a quick song, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Would I be good enough for me now to call for heads up, to lean on? Would I be good enough? This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we're chatting with Andrew Gulick from the Kirby Institute about the Opposite Attract study.
Now, Andrew, before the break, we were talking about what kinds of couples or dyads or fellows you're looking for this this study. But I guess a big question is, what happens if a couple breaks up?
So the study is about following couples. So if a couple breaks up, that's the end of the study for them. But we have a very important final visit for the couple, at which we need to take blood tests from the negative partner, because the the thing we have to check very closely in the study is if any HIV transmissions are occurring. So that final blood test is very important. But essentially, if a couple breaks up, that's the end of that couple within the study. But if either the positive or the negative partner enters into another serodiscordant relationship, then we'd love to welcome them back to the study with that new partner.
And so what are participants actually required to do? Obviously, you mentioned the blood tests and whatnot, but obviously there would be some sort of survey about behaviour and stuff like that. So exactly what are people required to do?
Yeah, the main point I'd like to make is that the burden on participants is really fairly light. The biggest thing is the first interview, where both partners have to attend together. It's with the study nurse at the research clinics and takes usually between 1 and 2 hours. They're given some fairly intensive education on HIV transmission to a level of detail, just to make sure everybody's on the same page and, you know, consent is taken, and some blood tests. But they're really routine blood tests, like antibody HIV tests for the negative partner, and the positive partner simply has his routine test. So after that clinic visit, then every time the positive partner goes for his normal routine blood test, the negative partner is also asked to attend for an HIV antibody test.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, or within a few days of that visit, the negative partner is asked to complete an online interview. It takes roughly 20 minutes or so, about their sexual behaviour in the last 3 month period. So essentially, for the HIV positive partner, there's very little added to their normal clinical management of their HIV disease. But for the negative partner, they might find they're being tested for HIV a little more frequently, and they have to do a behavioural survey. But all in all, to try to find out the answer to this question that the gay community really wants to know, of whether treatment does reduce HIV transmission, we think it's really not much of an ask.
And so how can people get involved in the study, or where can they find more information if they want to be involved?
Yep, so the first place they can go if they're going to one of those clinics is to talk to their doctors or study nurses at those clinics. So that was Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, Northside Clinic, Cranmarket Clinic, the Alfred HIV Clinic or Centre Clinic in Melbourne. We also have a study website, which is oppositesattract.net.au, or if you just Google Opposites Attract Study, you'll find it. And for people who prefer to talk to a human being, we have an 1-800 number. So as everybody's reaching for their pens at home, I hope, I'll read that number out. It's 1-800-129-073. And all the contact details are on the Opposites Attract website. So, yeah, just Google Opposites Attract Study and you'll find it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Andrew, it's been an absolute delight. I can't believe that we've actually gone through quite a lot. We could probably have you on again just to talk about the study a little bit more in depth next time as well. But thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. And I guess when you're sort of in the results analysis stage, or when the study is about to be published, we really want to have you back on and discuss the results. It sounds like fascinating research.
Yeah, look, I would love to come back and talk about the results. We're still going for a couple of years, and I'm sure we'll have some results to share along the way. So, I think hopefully the community really wants to know about these results, and I'd love to come back on and share some of them. Thanks very much, guys, for asking me on.
No worries, Andrew. Thanks very much. Have a good night. Well, we're just going to listen to some community service announcements, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we've had a couple of messages in, Jason.
We have indeed. Do you want to go through them?
Yes. We've got a message saying, loving the show tonight, guys, from Adam, and I think that's Monkey Adam sitting out on reception. That's very kind of him. And we've also...
I was a bit concerned that we sent a message to ourselves for a moment.
But... Yeah, I texted myself just because nobody else did. And we've also had a message from Anonymous, but say, loving the show tonight, so we love you too, Anonymous.
It's very good music tonight, Adam.
You're
I'm
liking
just gonna
it?
Comment, yes.
Well, that was actually Boom Click featuring Rosa Fernandez. I'm actually really called Follow Love. I'm actually really bad at back announcing songs and stuff like that.
It's very mellow this evening
it
now.
It is. Oh, well, I thought rather than play up, you know, your pumped up sort of punk rocker sort of hillybilly.
Leave that pop stuff to me.
Yeah, leave anything that's top 40 grossness to you. And whispering it on radio doesn't actually make it any clearer, dear. But this is obviously part of the show where we'd like you to get your pens, pads, or devices, or platforms, or slates, or something, as Tex would call them.
I think that's what he means by platforms, is, you know, the slate.
The slate. To take down some websites and or phone numbers. So the first thing is please like the Victorian AIDS Council / Oblique Gay Men's Health Centre Facebook page at facebook.com/ VAC.GMHC. Important to emphasise the dot in between VAC and GMHC. So you can find us via the Joy website, which is joy.org.au, or through vicaids.asn.au. But on the page, we've got plenty of information, well, interesting information, actually. So we'd love to hear from you. So remember to like facebook.com/VAC.GMHC, and you won't miss out on anything.
You won't at all. Another really exciting thing that's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Being Brenda. Mm-hmm. How can we not be talking about the fact that the series finale was uploaded on Wednesday?
Not just the series finale, the finale ever of its current format.
I know.
It no longer exists on Facebook and YouTube. So
it currently exists.
Well, not new episodes.
No new episodes.
Exactly. No new episodes. But I think Jason and I have both worked on that show in one capacity or another. Since its inception, really.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, after, what is that, 4 years?
Three, four. Many, many years.
Many years. Well, over 90 episodes. So
94, to be precise. And then add in all of the other little kind of extras, behind-the-scenes interviews.
The vignettes that we've sort of put together.
It's hard to believe that it's kind of come to an end, but
but it won some fantastic awards at LA Web Fest, which you attended.
Yeah, we picked up a couple of outstanding achievement awards, one of which, not surprisingly, was for Jeffrey Rush's performance.
I'm sure he's going to put that right next to his Oscar.
Oh, definitely. But Denise Scott also picked up an award for her
best supporting actress,
Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
As well as best production team.
Yes.
And I believe
two best actors for Tristan Meacham, who plays Brenda, and Gary Abrahams, who plays Aaron.
Fantastic.
So the person that you like the most and the person that you like the least.
Hey, that must be why we love them and hate them so much. They're well portrayed. But it's a great way for us to end the season with that news and those accolades and recognition. But it's come a long way. It's come a very, very long way. So,
and it hasn't, it hasn't actually completely stopped yet, because we are in the process of putting it together in a format where we can pitch it to television companies or television stations.
That's the goal. Yeah,
that's the goal.
But you know, it working in the community, it's rare that you get an opportunity to really see the connection that some of the projects that we do have with individuals. And when we posted the last episode, it was really quite quite moving and quite touching to see some of the comments that our audience have made about the connection that they've had to the both the characters, to the storyline, and the positive change that they felt that the series has had on their lives over the past 3 years. So it's been a really quite positive experience going through the last couple of episodes.
And it's very nice to be thanked for the work and the recognition, because trust me, it was a hell of a lot of work. It was a hell of a lot of work to make that all come together.
14-hour shoots, 3 a.m. in the middle of winter.
Standing in the middle of a freezing car park at 4:30 a.m. going, right, let's just get this next shot on a Sunday morning where I could be other places. No, but like, it was obviously really enjoyable. And I guess we will be keeping people updated as we progress along the path of trying to make the goal of making it on television.
And what's exciting as well is an offshoot of the LA Web Series Film Festival is coming to Melbourne in July of this year. So there's going to be the very first Melbourne Web Series Film Festival. So I encourage people to keep an eye out on that. There's some great content that's being made in Australia. other than being Brendo as well. And so keep a look at it. I think it's melbournewebfest.com.
I can't believe that we've come to the end of the show, but just before we are sort of a clock off, we have had another message saying, love, love, love you boys and your tunes. Well, they're my tunes. Thank you very, very much. That's from Donna Frock in Windsor. So, and there was two big kisses after that. So thank you, Donna, because...
those are from me.
The songs I chose. So obviously if they're in relation to the songs... Anywho, but look, I can't believe that the show.
Clearly, the high and the buzz from that snowdome I got you is totally worn off.
Worn off. I need McDonald's. That's what I need. But coming up next is Hide and Seek with Andrew and Dean. So, anyone you'll want to say hello to?
No, but it's great to be back, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Well, I'll say hi to Gary for you on your behalf. And thanks to tonight's guest, Professor Andrew Grulich from the Kirby Institute. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.